The matter of Troy Haviland versus Lourdes Medical Center of Burlington County. Can we please have appearances of counsel?
Thank you, Your Honors. Good afternoon. Jennifer Barr with Cooper Levinson on behalf of the appellant Lourdes Medical Center.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Kayla Rowe on behalf of the New Jersey Civil Justice Institute.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Anthony R. Giropoulos on behalf of Amicus, New Jersey Doctor Patient Alliance.
Weiss? I'll enter an appearance for Mr. Weiss. Michael Weiss.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Christina Vassilou-Harvey from Lemuro Munson Comer Brown and Shotland on behalf of the Amicus New Jersey Association for Justice.
Thank you, and may it please the court. Before I get started, I would like to reserve rebuttal period at the end. The issue in the instant appeal is whether the affidavit of merit is required for a complaint alleging medical negligence that took place in a medical facility. It is required. Plaintiff is attempting to avoid the affidavit of merit statute by directing the direct negligence claim against the technician here, the radiology technician, and then saying that the only claim for liability as against the medical facility is for vicarious liability. And plaintiff is arguing that a claim based on vicarious liability is outside of the affidavit of merit statute. Plaintiff's argument fails because of the language used in the affidavit of merit statute. The legislature chose to include an entity, a medical facility, such as a hospital, and entities operate only through the individual people who are employed therein. Here, the radiology technician. Those two cannot be separated. So any claim for against a medical facility will necessarily include an argument for vicarious liability. So including the entity in the affidavit of merit statute necessarily assumes that the entity will be liable vicariously. However, the analysis should not start with the statute. It should start with the allegations in the complaint, because those allegations are pivotal in determining whether an affidavit is required. So here, I'm actually going to read from the complaint. The plaintiff alleges that the defendants negligently failed to properly perform such imaging and otherwise deviated from accepted standards of medical care. This is medical negligence. And in order to prove his claim, plaintiff will need to establish the standard of care for a medical facility, for a radiology department. And some of those questions will include, does that standard of care say anything about whether the tech is supposed to read an order prescribing an imaging? Will the patient, will it be necessary to have them bear weight or not? Does that standard, is that standard embodied in any kind of written protocols for the medical facility? Was the tech aware of those protocols? But essentially, the tech is going to be bound by the standard of care established for the medical facility here. And the focus on the allegations in the complaint was noted by the appellate division in Berlin versus Remington and Vernick, which both sides cite to in the briefs. There, the complaint was so narrowly focused that the court determined that it was sufficient for a hydrogeologist to provide the affidavit of merit. However, in the Berlin opinion, if this plaintiff's theory is correct, that opinion could have been about three paragraphs long, because if in that case a medical affidavit of merit was not required, the court would not have bothered with determining whether that supplied affidavit was sufficient or not. And that claim was based on vicarious liability of a non-licensed employee imputed upon the engineering firm employer. So here, the appellate division erred by not examining the allegations in the complaint. However, the appellate division, throughout its opinion, refers to plaintiff's claim as one of medical negligence, yet determined that the affidavit of merit is not required for a claim of medical negligence. It violates common sense to conclude the way the appellate division did. So, with all the utmost respect to the appellate division panel below, the defendants respectfully request that this court reverse the appellate division and reinstate the trial court order dismissing plaintiff's complaint. So that concludes my opening statement. Would the court like to ask any questions?
Go ahead, Chief. What do you make of the fact that in this particular case, the individual sued, no affidavit of merit is required to say that individual because he's not one of the ones listed in the licensed person that affidavit of merit required for? Does that create a higher standard for respondeat superior or vicarious liability, as some people call it in the malpractice field, for the hospital when the individual who was negligent or deviated from the standard of care is no affidavit of merit is required to say that individual?
I think that by naming the entity in the statute, the legislature must have assumed that the employees of a medical facility could be the ones performing the act of negligence. Because including medical facility as an entity, it would not be limited to doctors and nurses because those individuals have already been named in the statute. So I think that the medical facility has a broader umbrella of employees that could commit acts that would be alleged to be negligent. Similar to the hydrogeologist in the Berlin case, that person was not a licensed professional under this affidavit of merit. However, the acts committed by the hydrogeologist were the foundation of the negligence claim. And those acts were imputed onto the engineering firm.
So there could be, as you've correctly said, allegations of negligence against the hospital. But in this case, and tell me if I'm mistaken, they were only leveled directly against the radiology technician, correct?
The direct claim, after undoing the claims against the medical facility, yes.
Where we stand right now. Mm-hmm. The claim in question is the negligence claim against the radiology technician, and that's it, correct?
Yes.
And there's no affidavit of merit requirement that would apply for that particular claim, correct?
In the statute, radiology technicians are not listed as licensed professionals.
So why then is the hospital entitled to an affidavit of merit on a vicarious liability theory when no affidavit of merit is required as relates to the radiology technician?
Because the patient was seeking medical care. So it's less about who is licensed and not licensed, but more about what caused the patient to seek the services and the medical care by the hospital.
So assume that the complaint was only filed against the radiological technician and Lourdes Hospital was not brought into the case. Okay, so it's Haviland versus radiological technician. Affidavit of merit needed?
I would say yes, because the radiology tech was there to perform medical care,
in my hypothetical, I took the hospital out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've admitted that the radiological technician is not a licensed individual under the AOM statute, correct? So assume it's Haviland versus radiological technician. Like, why would an affidavit of merit be necessary under those circumstances?
Because the standard of care that would need to be established for that tech is for medical care.
But the statute, we're governed by Section 27, which doesn't apply the standard that you've just stated, whether medical care is involved. It says there needs to be an action for damages for personal injuries resulting from negligence by a licensed person. How then, in the hypothetical that Justice Albin just gave you, would an affidavit of merit be required?
Because the statute also refers to the standard of care for that profession. And here, the profession would be medical services.
In this case, there's no, I would agree with you if there was a case where the hospital was sued for failure to train the radiologist, certainly you would need an affidavit of merit. But here, this is simply about ostensible agency, respondeat superior. So there's no allegation that the hospital did anything wrong. It's the technician who did something wrong, but because he or she is employed by the hospital is responsible for that and the respondeat superior. It'd be the same as if somebody was required to, a lawyer was, affidavit of merit is required, but there was someone like an intern at the office who no affidavit was required about. They sued the intern for legal malpractice. However, the law firm was brought in only for hiring the intern, not for failure to train, not for failure to, in that case, would an affidavit of merit require for us to the law firm?
Well, if an intern at a law firm commits, you know, let's say they are tasked with filing a complaint.
But there's no allegation that the law firm did anything wrong in training them. There's no allegation that the law firm did anything in giving them the work. The only allegation is you work for that law firm, ergo the law firm is responsible at the end of the day for that person's negligence.
But that intern at the law firm and here the radiology technician, they answer to professionals. And so their actions, which would include legal services or here medical services, they're answering to the professional. And so the standard of care would still be either for the intern at the law firm, that would be legal malpractice, and here it's medical negligence.
Let's come back to the basic bottom line raw fact, the hypo. Is it your position that whether an individual is licensed or not, if there's a claim of negligence against them for medical care, an affidavit of merit is required?
Correct, based on what job is being expected to be performed, and so if it involves care for that profession, then yes, the unlicensed person would require.
So what meaning, then, are you giving to the specific element of the statute that it need be an act of negligence by a licensed person? What, does that have any meaning as you interpret the language of the statute?
By the licensed person in that profession. And
it doesn't say that, though. So the Chief Justice, it starts a licensed person, and then it has categories of people, and then it has a medical facility. And the category of persons within the medical field are a physician in the practice of medicine or surgery and a registered professional nurse. So, and if there's a pharmacist there, a registered pharmacist. So I'm trying to figure out how are you squeezing in the radiological technician into this very specific group of people or individuals that have been identified by the legislature?
Well, I guess to answer the court's question, I might need to ask another question, because why then would the legislature include a medical facility if they really were only talking about doctors, nurses, pharmaceutical, pharmacists?
Failure to train, failure to have protocols. There are all sorts of ways you could bring in a hospital.
But
as an entity, other than vicarious liability.
But ultimately, they are the patient seeking care is there for medical, for medical care, for medical treatment. Here, the patient came for an imaging. The affidavit of merit statute, the purpose is to remove frivolous claims and to only let meritorious claims involving the professional standard of care to proceed.
But look, you could make an argument that the legislature would best serve that goal perhaps by adding some language that said here a licensed person or an individual working under the supervision of a licensed person, but it's very strictly limited to a licensed person, and your claim is, well, is your claim entirely, the claim against you, your client, entirely derivative of a claim against an unlicensed individual?
I think that the claim against us is just for vicarious liability.
Which is a derivative claim. You would, for example, if the case were to go to trial and the jury concluded that the technician did nothing wrong, you would be very quick to have the court enter a judgment in your client's favor, I'm sure, because that claim is entirely derivative. There's nothing that is alleged that the hospital did other than hire this individual. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Hypothetically, if the plaintiff sued a doctor for deviation of standard of care, but the claim against the hospital is not that they failed to supervise or train the doctor in any way, but rather that he or she were just an employee of the hospital, would an affidavit of merit be required then under the plaintiff's reading of the statute?
Well, as against the
hospital. If there was no claim against the hospital, just on responding superior, no allegation whatsoever that the hospital did anything wrong other than hiring this deviating doctor. So the claim strictly an affidavit of merit as to the doctor who's a licensed person. The only claim against the hospital is responding superior. The hospital did nothing rather than having that person their employee. Under that situation, even though the doctor is a licensed practitioner, on the plaintiff's interpretation, would an affidavit of merit be required as to the hospital?
I would still say yes, because the doctor answers to the hospital. And because of that, the hospital still has control over what the doctor is doing.
Are you saying that is the current practice? When a physician in a hospital is sued for medical malpractice and there's no independent claim against the hospital, okay, he's just an employee, an agent of the hospital, are you saying it's the current practice for affidavits of merit to be filed for the physician and a separate one for the hospital? Are you saying that?
I would think that a plaintiff's attorney should be doing an affidavit for both the doctor as well as the hospital for...
So this is just an inquiry. Is, to the extent that you have knowledge, is that the current practice as far as you know?
I don't know. I would recommend that would be a great question for the amicus to answer those broader questions.
What would an affidavit of merit in this case look like? Who would have to submit it, and what would it have to say?
I would imagine that it would be if I were plaintiff's counsel, I would try to find a radiologist or somebody experienced in radiology, meaning how to capture a radiology image with a patient who is previously injured, but somebody who also has, an administrator at a hospital, at a medical facility, and would understand that protocols and, you know, the hospital's standard of care for its employees need to be broadcast and followed.
So as to the first part of your answer, a non-licensed person under the statute would be required to submit an affidavit of merit.
I would suggest a radiologist, a physician who's a radiologist.
Not a technician.
Not a technician. Because the technician is answering to the physician. Just like in the law firm example, the intern is answering to the attorney.
And if they did that, wouldn't you be able to say this is not a person with the appropriate experience, because the functions of a radiologist, who ultimately is primarily reading the x-rays, not necessarily taking them, is distinct from the function of a technician?
I don't think that the technicians operate without direction from
Understood.
The physicians.
But wouldn't you have an argument that that's the wrong area of expertise, because the technician has a distinct skill set and experience set that's different from what a radiologist does?
I would think that a properly worded affidavit would be able to account for, you know, the procedures involved in taking the imaging from a physician who would be, you know, reading them and knowing the proper position where the arm would need to be in order to get the right kind of image that is going to help the physician do the physician's job. So the Berlin case was addressed it was sufficient enough for the plaintiff there to bring a hydrogeologist in for the, you know, for the affidavit of merit there as against the engineering firm. And I realize that,
but
it's a little bit,
if you had
different.
Let's say the alleged malpractice was against a nurse who was a licensed person, and someone brought in a physician as the affiant, wouldn't there be an argument that nursing is a separate profession with separate standards, and that someone with expertise in nursing as opposed to being an internist or whatever they may be, would be the right person, and that the position was not sufficient?
I think it would depend on the facts of the case and what the nature of the allegations are. But here, the allegations are that in that radiology room, when the technician was trying to get a picture so that the physician, the radiologist, could read it, that's the standard of care. Like, where does what should the radiology technician do to help out the physician? I think, and like I keep saying, the tech would be answering to not only the radiologist but also the hospital, whereas with a nurse has its own professional standard of care, and doctors have their own professional standard of care. So that might not be quite so, or I guess the nurse to the hospital might, the nursing has its own standard of care. Here, the tech would just be almost like an arm of the
aren't
medical facility.
For technicians?
Pardon me?
Aren't there protocols for technicians? Aren't they registered to? Not licensed under the AON?
There is a registration requirement, yes.
So my question to you is this. If Mr. Weiss, in proceeding with his case, gets an expert witness who is a radiological technician and sets forth the standard of care for radiological technician, are you going to say that's inadequate?
As against the hospital?
Against the radiological technician. Let's start with that.
I think if it were for the radiology technician, I think that would be sufficient.
Okay.
But the liability for the hospital being vicarious means that any action in the employee by the employee, the technician, would be imputed to the medical facility.
How could a technician provide an affidavit when the affidavit has to be provided, it must be an affidavit of an appropriate licensed person?
Well, I was going to continue that if the technician was the only person as the defendant, but when you are alleging vicarious liability, meaning that technician answers to other people in the facility, then I think that technician would have to be able to speak to how the hospital's policies and standard of care.
What a hospital's standard of care is.
Pardon me?
How could any technician's affidavit be admitted with an opinion as to a hospital standard of care and deviation thereto?
How
could anybody be ever qualified as a radiology technician to give an opinion or an affidavit of merit as to a hospital?
Well, I mean, I think that carefully selecting a radiology technician who would also have administrative experience.
You think any of those exist that are well-versed in hospital procedures and standard of care and also radiology technicians? Isn't that like a universe of one?
Well, we don't know that because there was no affidavit of merit supplied here, but looking at the nature of the allegations, I'm going to circle back to that. This is medical negligence. I mean,
as to the technician, what is the claim as to the hospital exactly?
The claim would be that the hospital, in developing procedures for administering an image for somebody who's injured, that the hospital should have some kind of policy in place so that any technician or a nurse who was also might be, I mean, I'm not really sure how these how the procedure would, or the, you know, who is in the room, but the technician would need to know medically how to manipulate somebody's body to get the right kind of image. And that's where the medical negligence comes
in. As to the technician.
That's, I'm sorry, what?
That claim is as to the technician himself or herself, that claim that the technician should know how to manipulate an arm to take a proper x-ray, proper film. That claim is a technician. Isn't the claim against the hospital simply that they were negligent in their hiring, that the person they hired was incompetent, or that they don't do enough vetting? And if that's the claim, how does that rise to the level of deviation from standard of care? It's just a simple negligent hiring claim, isn't it?
I don't think that would be negligent hiring as to the hospital.
What would
it be? It would be the medical standard of care that is embodied in the hospital's protocols.
Medical standard care that's to radiologists?
That
are not required, who you're not required to have an affidavit of merit as to. So that would put a higher duty on the hospital than on the actual person who deviated from the standard of care, wouldn't it?
Put a higher duty on the hospital?
They don't need an affidavit of merit as to the technician. But in order to hold the hospital responsible for the technician's action, they would need an affidavit of merit as to the hospital? Isn't that what you're proposing here?
I'm not sure I would put it exactly in those words, but I would look at the standard of care that would apply to the technician. And it is a medical standard of care. I mean, keep in mind that the affidavit of merit statute is to prevent non-meritorious lawsuits to proceed. And
I know what it stands for.
The standard of care would have to involve a medical standard of care.
Let me just to clarify, Justice Fernandez-Vina is asking you, in this case, solely based on the hospital's employment of this non-licensed tech, does somebody qualified to give an affidavit of merit have to provide it as to the negligence of the hospital? Professional negligence. Hospitals are licensed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to sue a licensed hospital, do you need an affidavit of merit as to the hospital? Forget who did the negligent act. Do you need an affidavit of merit as to the hospital?
Correct.
Even though the hospital employee could be a janitor, could be whoever. Somebody cleaning out bedpans, did something wrong and the patient got hurt. You need that affidavit of merit as to the hospital, but not as to the unlicensed person who was actually negligent. Is that your position?
If the negligent act was part of the care and treatment of the patient, then yes, you would need an affidavit for both the employee and the hospital, which is what happened in Berlin, because there, this wasn't even, the engineering firm, before I said something that the entities are, you have a larger umbrella, but engineers specifically as a profession are listed in the statute. Yet in that case, the hydrogeologist who was an employee who was providing services for the client who needed engineering services, they were one part of that whole process. But that hydrogeologist was not an engineer.
I think that's kind of my point. You go into a hospital, you have a medical problem. You're going to be treated for that medical problem. Lots of people are going to interact with you, some licensed, some unlicensed. But you're injured. And the cause of the injury happens to be the unlicensed person. Not medical treatment, probably medically related, but not medical treatment. Does the hospital, does the plaintiff, have to provide an affidavit of merit as to the hospital?
Yes, in the same way that the hydrogeologist.
Forget the hydrogeologist, forget the tech. An affidavit of merit for the hospital who's named as a defendant when the person who does the thing that is done negligently is not licensed. Forget what they do. They're just not licensed.
If the negligence happened in the patient's seeking of medical treatment or care at that hospital, the facility, then yes, they would need to have an affidavit of merit for the hospital to weed out the non-meritorious claims.
The threshold question is the nature of care alleged based in medical malpractice? That's really the threshold question.
And yes, it is.
So that in this case, I'm presuming that in order to succeed, whether or not you need an affidavit of merit, you're going to need a report and testimony by an expert as to how the tech was negligent.
Yes.
Whether or not we come, whatever conclusion we come to as to affidavit of merit, that expert report, that expert testimony is going to be required to get to a jury, correct?
To get to a jury?
Yes.
Yes.
So your argument, I guess, is if that's the test and it's medical, based in medical treatment, there has to be an affidavit of merit.
Correct.
So the controlling issue is not the statute, which says only licensed individuals. It's the nature of the treatment that controls.
Yes, the nature of the allegations and the treatment.
And what's the basis for your support for that last piece? If it's not the statute that controls, then what does?
Well, I think that the statute does include this because it states that if the negligence is performed in the occupation, or if you just give me 1 minute, I will find. Okay, so in any act, this is coming from the statute, in any action for damage for personal injuries, wrongful death, or property damage resulting from an alleged act of malpractice or negligence by a licensed person in his profession or occupation. And so I think that language, in his profession or occupation, is like a profession or occupation isn't just the individual acts that a licensed person, like a lawyer, would do. It's in that profession. It includes things that the lawyer does, things that the intern does, things that the associate does, or the assistant would do. So I think that that language, in, coupled with the fact that an entity, like a medical facility, has been listed as a licensed person, which necessarily includes that the work at the hospital for medical care will be done not only by doctors and nurses and pharmacists who are already licensed people in the statute, but also other people, such as technicians, who will be part of that medical care.
I think we have your position, Ms. Barr. Is there anything you'd like to add before we get you back for rebuttal?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rowe.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Our courts in New Jersey have a gatekeeping function, whether it's an evidentiary issue or whether it's a threshold merit-related issue in these more complex types of cases that arise from alleged professional negligence. The Affidavit of Merit statute is part of that overarching scheme of the court serving this gatekeeping function and ensures that only meritorious professional negligence cases proceed. In the case of the Affidavit of Merit statute, the plain language, the public policy underpinning the passing of the Affidavit of Merit statute, as well as our traditional expectations and common sense about medical malpractice cases in New Jersey, all lead to the conclusion that if a plaintiff's claim sounds in medical negligence, regardless of their personal so-called licensure status under the Affidavit of Merit statute. If it sounds in medical negligence and then the plaintiff also wishes to loop in a derivative claim of the healthcare facility, there must be an Affidavit of Merit talking about the alleged professional negligence by the so-called non-licensed person. So starting with the plain language, the Affidavit of Merit statute reduces to an if-then statement. If a healthcare facility is brought into a lawsuit by way of this sort of a derivative claim of vicarious liability, then there's an Affidavit of Merit required of the plaintiff. Justice Solomon, I believe you got to the heart of the issue that this is sort of the formula for requiring the Affidavit of Merit, that if it sounds...
That's not quite what it says, Ms. Rowe. It says... In an action for damages of personal injuries, wrongful death, property damages resulting from an alleged act of malpractice or negligence by a licensed person. There's a big qualifier. And it might be better policy for, especially with the complexity of hospital care today, for the legislature to broaden that and take into account the many, many individuals with different job functions who are involved in the care of patients. But what the legislature is telling us is this is geared toward acts or omissions by licensed individuals. So where's the plain language that says that if it's a vicarious liability claim based on the acts or omissions of a licensed act of malpractice or negligence by a unlicensed person, you need that affidavit?
It would be in the inclusion of healthcare facilities as the so-called licensed person. So healthcare facilities are not natural persons, and the only way that they can be brought into these sorts of cases are because of the actions of natural persons.
But there are causes of action against healthcare facilities, for example, that one could come up with, such as they didn't screen properly, they didn't train properly, they hired someone without an appropriate background check, and intentional wrong was done. All kinds of claims could be brought independently against the healthcare facilities that would not be purely vicarious, right? It wouldn't be based upon an alleged act of malpractice or negligence by a licensed person, which I think arguably this claim is based upon.
That's true, but the examples of the negligent hiring and, for example, negligent training, those sound in more of an ordinary negligence theory, whereas here, I believe the focus of the Affidavit of Merit statute is truly the complexity that comes along with medical...
Well, aren't you adding an element to responding to superior vicarious liability? My understanding has always been if you derive a benefit from an employee and he or she's within the scope of employment, then you're responsible for those acts. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It just you're responsible. There's no fault as to the employer. The only two elements, as I understood them, was you derive a benefit from the employment and you employed them. So now by adding an affidavit of merit to this claim against the hospital, you're saying they also must show that the hospital was negligent in some way in either hiring or failing to train. Aren't you adding an element to responding to superior that doesn't exist?
No, Justice Fernandez-Vina. I'm acknowledging that the Affidavit of Merit statute requires of a plaintiff to show that there was actual professional negligence that took place, and that's the onus put on them by the Affidavit of Merit statute. So it doesn't. But it sort of flows through the unlicensed.
I don't see how it can. The only requirements for vicarious liability or responding superior in an employment situation is that the person was employed by the employer, and that. The act occurred within the scope of employment. That's all. Mm-hmm. When you put in an affidavit of merit, you're now adding elements to it that they failed to train, they failed to supervise, whatever. That's not really required in responding superior. As I understand, there are only two elements. I don't think it's changed.
Well, perhaps what might make you feel more at ease is I would think, and I'm certainly not a doctor, not a medical malpractice expert, the Affidavit of Merit in this case would address the alleged negligence by the radiology technician. It would not address...
Why is that required? All they have to prove is that the hospital employed them, and their actions were within the scope of their employment. You're adding another element to responding superior, which is that there was some fault on the part of the master, and that doesn't exist. All you have to show is that they were employed, and they were within the scope of their employment.
To me, the affidavit of merit shows that there was fault on the, you know, alleged fault by the radiology technician, and because of respondeat superior, if there were an affidavit of merit that said there's medical negligence by the radiology technician, then the case, without adding anything else to any other elements that the plaintiff has to prove for the hospital, still proceeds against both the radiology technician and the hospital. But there does need to be something, because there's no other way that hospitals can be reached in this situation. If the radiology technician had done everything perfectly and the plaintiff had no complaint against the radiology technician, the hospital wouldn't even be in this case.
But even if they did do something wrong, they don't have to prove that the hospital was aware of it, failed to train, failed to, all they have to show is employment and that the person was within the scope of employment interactions. If the radiology technician, for example, took a crowbar and hit the guy on the shoulder to make his arm fit better, that would be outside the scope of employment.
Yes.
In this case, I don't see any evidence of something like that. Isn't that all they have to prove when they're responding as superior or vicarious liability, agency, ostensible agency? That's all they have to prove.
I'm so sorry, sir.
No, go ahead.
Assuming that medical negligence, at least enough for the affidavit of merit, is established for the radiology technician, the claims would still continue against the hospital, and there would be the development through the course of discovery, you know, on these sorts of issues. Where the affidavit of merit is required is just simply based on, in order to get to the hospital, you have to get through the radiology technician first. Okay. And because...
You heard my hypothetical earlier. Assume the hospital is out of this case, and it's Haviland versus radiological technician. Under those circumstances, would there be a need to file an affidavit of merit?
I think there's a stronger argument and granted, radiology technicians, and again, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I've never met a radiology technician who operates outside of the context of a healthcare facility. There's no just random person with an x-ray machine in their house taking x-rays, or I hope not, at least. But in that situation, there is a stronger argument because they're not licensed and no one's trying to go after, the plaintiff is not trying to reach the deep pockets of a licensed healthcare facility in your hypothetical, then there's more of an argument that it's a more tenuous connection to the licensure requirement under the affidavit of merit statute. I would say, though, my guess would be your hypothetical does not exist in real life, and in developing the affidavit of merit statute, this reality was considered, because I do think it's quite remarkable that the only entity type listed in the affidavit of merit statute is a healthcare facility, and it recognizes that healthcare facilities employ a broad range of individuals, some who are so-called licensed under the for purposes of the affidavit of merit statute, and some who are registered or otherwise licensed, whose acts may still constitute medical negligence because of what they do for a living.
Who's going to file the affidavit? What would satisfy the statute?
Would,
for instance, an affidavit of merit from an expert radiological technician who's not licensed under the statute, would that be satisfactory?
Berlin guides us that a like licensed individual, so it would be another, it could be another radiology technician, would be appropriate. So I don't know if within radiology, within the radiology tech world, if some of them focus more on orthopedic issues and others focus more on ultrasounds or something like that. From my life experience, I've noticed, you know, the ultrasound people tend to do ultrasounds. So perhaps in this case, because it was more of an orthopedic issue, if the radiology technician involved tended towards more orthopedic imaging, then an orthopedically oriented radiology technician would be an appropriately licensed professional. Sort of like in the Berlin case where the appellate division accepted a licensed hydrogeologist from North Carolina. So while here in New Jersey, we don't recognize hydrogeology as one of the licensed categories under the affidavit of merit statute, the appellate division found that the hydrogeologist who is licensed, and I guess must come under their equivalent statutes, was an appropriately licensed individual.
Set aside the hydrogeologist. The statute calls for an affidavit, quote, of an appropriate licensed person.
Mm-hmm.
And you've told us that a radiology technician would be the appropriate person, mm-hmm. even though that individual is not defined in the listing of appropriate, of licensed people, mm-hmm. correct?
That's correct. I do wonder if license could include registration and, you know, not just anyone off the street can become a radiology technician. There is some sort of registration. I believe they are governed by our Division of Consumer Affairs and all of that.
My concern is not whether you have a capable radiology mm-hmm. technician. It's with the language of the statute that specifically calls for affidavits from licensed people, and radiology techs are not licensed people. How does that abide by the terms of the statute, what you're proposing?
Well, then another alternative that could be helpful would be an actual radiologist, a medical doctor trained in radiology, perhaps one who, like the hypothetical radiology technician, has an orthopedic bent. You know, it would make no sense to have an OBGYN who looks at ultrasounds all day take a look at, an image of a shoulder looking at orthopedic issues.
So what is it, as you understand the statute, that is required? Not what might be better, what could be better. What is required and what would be unacceptable?
In my very admittedly limited time doing medical malpractice defense, it looks at the character of what the alleged negligence is. If it involves, it's more nuanced than simply engineer and engineer, or I won't say the word hydrogeologist, doctor and doctor.
To our fact pattern,
mm-hmm.
where we have an unlicensed individual, a radiology tech, what would satisfy the affidavit of merit requirement?
I think somebody whose job title and, more importantly, job responsibilities closely mirror those of the radiology technician and what they were doing in this case.
Whether they're licensed or not, whether that person is licensed or not. Is that correct? Is that your position?
It would have to be the appropriately licensed language is troubling, but it doesn't say appropriately licensed per our affidavit of merit statute. It's just appropriately licensed, and one can still be licensed to do radiology technology without being under the affidavit of merit statute. It's still a recognized
appropriate profession. Licensed person, and that mirrors the language of by a licensed person.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same paragraph, same provision exactly. It says an appropriate licensed person. What shouldn't we just under normal rules of statutory construction view the legislature's use of the same exact language twice in the same statute to mean the same thing?
Yes, Justice Patterson. So that would then indicate that the appropriately licensed person would be a medical doctor who's a radiologist, because then they would be licensed under that and they would have the appropriate amount of knowledge to give an affidavit of merit about whether the radiology technician who's, you know, under their umbrella operate with the appropriate medical duty of care.
So we're admittedly then talking about two different professionals.
We're talking about two different professions, but still a so-called licensed professional whose daily job responsibilities and experience if not perfectly mirror, track very closely to that of the defendant from whom all the other claims are derivative.
And I would assume, just one follow-up, I would assume that if we were talking about a flip situation where a negligence case were brought against a radiologist, it would be unacceptable to take an affidavit of merit from a radiology technician.
That would be unacceptable, yes.
Is there anything to make out of the lack of parallelism in the arguments that
let me back up there. It would depend on what exactly the actual claims were against the radiologist. If the claim against the radiologist say instead of a radiology technician, we had a radiologist here doing the imagery for some reason, that they were doing it, their tech was out, and they had the plaintiff carry the weights.
You think an unlicensed tech could provide an affidavit, would provide a satisfactory affidavit of merit in such a case?
I think substantively they would offer some insights, but it might be better to have the another radiologist look at the affidavit of merit, discuss, you know, is this something I would have done if I were the radiologist who was down at tech that day?
I think you'd have a very strong argument that the tech is an inadequate person for the affidavit of merit under those facts.
Sure, it would be the radiologist who'd be better.
And I was going to clarify where your argument stood after your discussion with Justice Patterson and looking at the language of the statute. You initially answered that a radiology technician, even though not technically licensed but registered, could possibly give an affidavit of merit. I just wanted to clarify that. Have you abandoned that answer given what we've had the discussion in the past few minutes and looking at the specific language of the statute?
Yes, Your Honor. It's truly, as long as the person has the correct substantive knowledge too, and they're a licensed person, then they can look at what the radiologist, it comes under the same umbrella. A radiologist will have a, you know, greater sense of knowledge about what's appropriate than the radiology technician. And, you know, of course, there would be some nitty-gritty discussion of, is it the right kind of, does this radiologist regularly look at this sort of imagery and then make sure it matches up to what's going on in the given case?
Other questions? Anything you'd like to add, Ms. Rowe?
Simply, Your Honors, to conclude, to honor the plain language of the Affidavit of Merit statute, the public policy underlying it in making sure that only meritorious claims proceed, and then our traditional expectations and understanding under the case law from the Berlin case to other cases where the claims are derivative of something that sounds in professional negligence still requires an affidavit of merit from the appropriately licensed person before the case can proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Argyropoulos.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Justices. I'm going to get to some of the issues that you've been talking about, and then I'm going to immediately jump to the thrust of my argument concerning the public policy implications of the decision below. The Affidavit of Merit statute that we've been talking about says very clearly, in any action for damages for personal injuries, wrongful death, or property damage resulting from an alleged act of malpractice or negligence by a licensed person in his profession or occupation, the plaintiff shall file an Affidavit of Merit. Here, the licensed person is a healthcare facility. Healthcare facilities, and the Affidavit of Merit says so, the Affidavit of Merit statute says so, at 2A:53A-26J. So, what's a healthcare facility? Healthcare facility is something that's principally engaged in providing treatment of human disease, pain, and injury. That's the Healthcare Facilities Planning Act. That's NJSA 26:2H-2. And so in this instance, we know, as one of my colleagues pointed out, corporations, entities don't simply act. Their places, their ideas, they act through people. And in this case, a licensed person, meaning a healthcare facility, acted in the scope of what it's authorized to do as a licensed person, which is provide treatment of human disease, pain, and injury, thing that was performed by, and I don't want to use the word unlicensed person. I'm going to say by a person who falls outside of the definition of a licensed person in the Affidavit of Merit statute. A radiologic technologist requires that you earn a diploma, a certificate, an associate's degree that's governed by the Radiologic Technology Board of Examiners. You have to pass the ARRT exam. That is the American Registry for Radiologic Technologies exam. You have to apply for a license, and you have to keep that license active. So you are a licensed professional. You are not a licensed person as defined by the Affidavit of Merit statute. And so in this case, a licensed person, the facility, did what licensed persons do pursuant to the AOM statute and the Healthcare Facilities Act, and it did so through an unlicensed person. That's completely appropriate, and that's how you expect healthcare to be done. nowadays where physicians don't carry bags anymore. They're a physician-led team approaches. It's a team sport, as many physicians and hospitals will say. There's a practical question that was asked, which is, okay, well, in that instance where you have a licensed person performing a licensed person's services through a radiology technician, what kind of an affidavit of merit would you need? I would propose that you would have an affidavit of merit from a licensed person, someone who would be fairly situated as a healthcare facility spokesperson, explain that when we provide care and services to patients in New Jersey through our employees, including phlebotomists, for example, including radiology technologists, as we have here, we are governed by the standard promulgated by those professional agencies.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yes.
You're suggesting that what you would need would be an affidavit of merit from a licensed person who supervised the unlicensed person to indicate what the deviation of that unlicensed person was? Is that what I understand your argument to be?
I think that would be compliant with the statute.
So then forget that the person's not licensed under the statute. You're suggesting that no matter who you are, if you're working in a hospital, you need an affidavit of merit from someone who supervised you to say that you deviated. Doesn't that just throw out the whole purpose of the only licensed person being required to provide an affidavit of merit for?
No, that's not what I'm arguing. What I'm saying is that if you're seeking to pin the ultimate liability on a licensed person, here a healthcare facility, that you as a plaintiff must comply with the affidavit of merit statute. Because
even though the person, the primary defendant is not licensed, no affidavit of merit is required, you would require an affidavit of merit as to the person in charge or the supervisor to say that here's what they should have done and here's what they should have taught this person. That goes to the negligence of the supervisor. That doesn't go to the negligence of the person who...
In a respondeat superior scenario, you're effectively tagging the employer, here the hospital, with the negligence of its agent. And here, the negligence occurred, admittedly, in the portion of the complaint read by my colleague, to be the provision of medical treatment in a healthcare facility. Now, I'll answer one of the questions that I heard before, which is, well, what if you just, pardon me, Your Honor.
Respondent superior, you just said you're tagging them, but you're really not, because all you're showing with respondent superior is that they were within the scope of their employment, which was setting up people for the x-ray, and that the hospital employed them. They're not, the hospital, in order to be held in on the respondent superior, the hospital is not required to show anything that they did wrong or improper. They're simply tagged because the person they hired acted in a negligent fashion. So you're adding an element to respondent superior that I don't believe exists.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I don't think I'm adding an element. What I'm saying is, in the context of the affidavit of merit statute, if you are seeking to impose liability on a licensed person based on what a licensed person is authorized to do under the statute, here, a facility that's licensed and authorized to provide the treatment and care of the sick, assist with disease, et cetera, you have to comply. For instance, just by way of example, if the plaintiff sued the hospital and said, I'm suing you, hospital, directly because your agent committed medical malpractice by requiring me to hold a weight while taking a photograph of my bicep, for instance. I don't know the specifics of the treatment. Well, in that instance, an affidavit of merit would certainly be necessary. But here, the plaintiff has flipped it and is bypassing the statute. And so what the DPA advocates is, if you're going to seek to hold a licensed professional liable for the conduct of those within, and based upon specifically the conduct of those within her employment, or here the facilities, within the scope of the facility's purposes under the statute, you need to show an affidavit of merit. If you were simply suing Joe or Joanne Technology Technician, I would argue that you don't need an affidavit of merit.
Simply suing the hospital, not because they did anything wrong, whatsoever, but because someone who's not licensed under their employ did something wrong, and the only issue here is, were they employed by the hospital, and was it within the scope of their employment, which is to set people up for treatment? You would add an element that would require an affidavit of merit saying, here's what you did wrong, hospital.
I don't think I'd be adding anything, but I would require it.
Why would you require an affidavit of merit if you're not adding any claims against the hospital whatsoever? The only claim is you employed them, and their actions were within the scope of their employment.
Because
what is the affidavit of merit going to say?
Because the step, well, let me, I'll answer your honors.
No, answer my last one first. What would the affidavit of merit say?
The affidavit of merit would say, for instance, in a hypothetical, which would say, in a hospital licensed in the state of New Jersey to provide care pursuant to the Healthcare Facilities Act, employs, you know, a variety of persons. Those persons include here a radiology technologist. The provision of radiology technology services by the hospital through its agents falls within the scope of the following standards promulgated by the AART Radiology Association. And as a hospital, we are required, as a licensed person providing these services, we're required to follow these standards. Something along those lines. I know I put it in terms of the hospital.
In my opinion, it's a pretty large expansion of the respondeat superior or...
Your Honor, the affidavit of merit has harsh consequences, and this court's recognized that on plaintiffs.
Yes.
And the statute provides, in any action for damages for personal injuries resulting from an alleged act of malpractice or negligence, and that's all satisfied here. The next part, by a license, here, that licensed person that they're seeking to impose the ultimate liability on is the facility.
Okay, so earlier, I think I heard you saying or about to say that if the hospital were not named as a defendant and just the radiological technician, no affidavit of merit necessary.
I think it would be pushing the envelope of the affidavit of merit statute, which looking at its plain language, includes specific individuals. A radiologic technician is not a doctor. So it's not a healthcare facility.
Your position is, once you bring in a licensed individual or a licensed entity, that triggers the affidavit of merit statute.
My position is that once a licensed professional or a licensed person, now I'm mixing up the words, I apologize. Once you seek to, if a plaintiff is seeking money due to professional malpractice or negligence, and the plaintiff is seeking money from a licensed person, then you need an affidavit of merit, irrespective of whether it was a licensed person who performed the act, or, as we have here, a team approach where persons are performing the acts on behalf of the licensed person.
Would you agree that the statute doesn't use those words, doesn't say precisely what you've just articulated?
I think that I would agree, Your Honor, that the statute does not say precisely what I said, but I posit most respectfully that, and I echo my colleague, that a healthcare facility is not a natural person. It must act through the agents, the individuals, the persons that it employs. I was going to just finish my answer to the question with saying that, therefore, I believe firmly, my client believes firmly, that what I'm arguing is entirely consistent with the plain language of the statute.
So I may have the title of the statute wrong. A Patient Safety Act or the Patient First Act, the one that requires similar in-kind affidavits from the person who performed the particular procedure. Does that apply?
It does apply, and I think that that my response to the hypothetical addressed that.
So what does that mean in this context? You need a like credentialed because that's what the statute goes. A like credentialed person fill out the affidavit of merit. Like, who would that be here?
Well, hey, that as Your Honor articulated, right? That's an apples to apples. If you have something like a radiologist, a cardiac surgeon, a neurologist, etc. Here, the licensed person that I'm advocating on behalf is the healthcare facility. And so the question is, what did the healthcare facility do to deviate, from the standard of care under these particular circumstances?
Okay, so now tell us who's filling out the affidavit of merit in order to comply with the statute in the way that you suggest.
I suggest that it would be the licensed person who would provide the affidavit would be a person equally situated as a healthcare facility speaking on behalf of the facility, and that person, whoever she may be, would lay out what is the standard that a licensed healthcare facility in New Jersey, when it's proceeding pursuant to the Healthcare Facilities Act to treat human beings in its, within its walls, what's the standard that applies in this particular instance? And here, when that facility is acting through a radiologic technologist, they go by different names, the standard would be that standard that applies to the provision of these particular services. And so I acknowledge, I have to, because this is a unique case. That's we're here because it's a unique case, and it presents some challenges as to who the appropriate...
Is the AOM coming from someone who is familiar with the standards that are promulgated by hospitals or by a radiologist?
We're both. We're both. This might be an instance where you require, an affidavit of merit of the facility to explain, what it does, how licensed facilities conduct business in New Jersey, saying that they must comply with the appropriate standards of at issue here, the radiological technology standards, and then either a separate affidavit of merit or something rolled into that affidavit of merit that explains what's the standard of care and whether or not it was deviated.
Standard of care for whom? For the radiology technician or for the hospital?
For the hospital.
And what would that include? How we train them, or how we, our hiring process, our interview process, our supervision process? What would that entail?
I think it depends on the complaint, but I'll tell you what I'll tell Your Honor respectfully what I think it would say here. It would say that these are the services that we provide. This is how we provide them. This is the standard. And I know I'm kind of flipping it. It should say that a hospital providing these services has to abide by the following standard of care. And that standard of care would be adopted by something like the AART, which certifies these technologists. And it would say, here is a standard. You don't have someone in a situation where they have a bicep tear or whatever it was, holding weight. You shouldn't do that. And here the standard of care was deviated.
You don't know whether you should or you shouldn't, because sometimes I need to see the joint extended. But be that as it may, because I'm not a doctor, all I can tell you is I don't see how you're going to find somebody qualified in both fields to give an affidavit of merit. I would think that perhaps the affidavit of merit, maybe if there was one, would be, here's what our hiring practices are, here's how we interview people, and here's how we, keep an eye on them, but nothing more than that, because I don't think a hospital expert, an expert in a hospital, could testify as to what the radiological technician's technique should be or how they should position people. And since they're not a licensed person, I don't know that there could be possibly a licensed affidavit of merit from someone who's a radiological technician.
The standards exist. Hospitals are required to follow the standards when providing care through their agents, and certainly, you're required as a plaintiff to submit an affidavit of merit. I think that I depart from the concept that it would be a difficult burden or an impossibility for plaintiff to find the absolute, perfect person. I would posit that if a plaintiff provided an affidavit of merit along the lines that I discussed, or two affidavits, one from a hospital adopting that of the radiologic technician, association type standard, I don't think that we would, that there really would be much of an argument that it would have been satisfied.
About your argument, because you're postulating a cause of action that I think is a lot broader than the one the plaintiff is actually asserting here. I mean, I understand that it's an argument in favor of having a separate hospital administration type of affidavit, but I don't think this hospital is being sued on a theory that in their overall management of this hospital, which includes finding and hiring and training the appropriately licensed or otherwise qualified people and overseeing them, that's what's alleged to have happened here as the deviation from the standard of care. I think what the plaintiff is alleging is something more difficult to prove because it's narrower, which is that the hospital is entirely derivative claim, vicariously liable for negligence on the part of this one individual. So if a prospective jury were to find that the plaintiff did not prove that allegation by preponderance of the evidence, then the hospital is off the hook entirely. You see what I'm getting at? That in talking about how, in theory, the hospital has a separate duty of care that should be described in an affidavit of merit, I think you're describing a cause of action that the plaintiff is not asserting here and would actually be a more potentially broader cause of action against the hospital.
Well, the concern here is, Your Honor, is that by not requiring an affidavit of merit up front as pursuant to the statute, you're requiring healthcare providers, doctors who I represent, to be stuck in that very position, where they're left litigating cases, their resources, their talent is not being targeted at training. It's not targeted at providing care, but rather it's stuck litigating and waiting for a plaintiff to either, succeed or not succeed at trial against, a member of the team whose conduct this professional is now going to be liable for through a straight respondeat superior theory.
But if, in fact, there was some problem with the hiring that went on here, there were people not doing the right thing in hiring. Let's say they're just hiring people, whoever some computer services is providing and not really vetting them properly. I don't think that's in this case.
It isn't.
And I don't think the training that the hospital provided is in this case, and I don't know that the hospital really particularly wants those things in the case, because that opens up a whole new area of potential negligence. And we can ask this to Mr. Weiss when he speaks shortly, but I don't think that's his allegation. And so what I'm saying is, in your argument, talking about the need for two basically layers of affidavit of merit here, I think that's a case that this hospital is not facing.
But at the end of the day, Your Honor, practically speaking, the hospital is facing an allegation of medical negligence on the part of its agent. And what hospitals do is they provide services to patients through their agents. And ultimately, this is equivalent to, this particular case in front of us is equivalent to a case brought directly against the hospital for negligence, using the specific negligence of its employee as a basis. And that's why we view it as an end around the affidavit of merit statute. I don't mean this in any kind of type of castigating or pejorative way, but one could simply say, you could style all your claims this way, make them all derivative, and bypass the affidavit of merit entirely. I believe in this case,
No.
There was a claim that was withdrawn because there was no affidavit of merit.
Because the vast majority of any derivative claim would arise from the alleged negligence of a physician, a nurse, a hospital pharmacist, et cetera, who are all unlicensed physicians. I mean, the quirk about this case is that it happens to be about the alleged negligence of an individual who is not on the list that this legislature's given us.
And Your Honor, we know from our experience, just as folks, that's who hospitals hire. That's who healthcare facilities, you know, use. There are, you know, whether it's in a support position. Again, I use the phlebotomist who takes blood. You know, the radiology tech, the X-ray tech. You know, all these technicians.
If an orderly neglects cleaning up a water spill in a room and a patient falls and hurts him or herself, and they sue the orderly in the hospital and the ostensible agency or responding superior theory, do they need an affidavit of merits at a hospital?
I would say no. I think that's
what's the difference between that? What's the difference between that and a radiology technician who's also not a licensed person?
Because it's all about the setting. The radiology technician is providing medical services to a patient
on behalf of a licensed facility. Medical services, then you need affidavit of merit.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the linchpin. The linchpin is the medical services. Right. We're not talking about someone who carelessly drops a coffee cup, someone who spills, you know, hot soup on someone in the lunch line.
What about someone taking someone in a gurney to the operating room, to the OR, and they don't secure them properly and they fall? Is that a medical service? Do you need an affidavit of merit in that case?
Hypotheticals are so difficult.
Just answer my hypothetical. Answer mine.
I would say yes. I would say you do. There are standards that apply to how a geriatric patient, for instance, how a cardiac patient should be secured, a patient who has epilepsy. And so I think that, yeah, you're being provided with medical services, or I say, yes, you're being provided with medical services in a healthcare facility by an employee of the facility who's charged by statute to provide those services. I think that could be a close call, Your Honor. But again, these all depend on their facts, and that's the danger of hypotheticals for
your bottom line. As I hear you, not too different from your colleagues who've spoken before you, is that if there's an action against a healthcare facility, no matter how it's styled, and there's an allegation of negligence relating to medical care, there must be an affidavit of merit.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes.
Regardless of what the language of the statute is, that's your argument as to how it applies. Licensed, not licensed, appropriately licensed person. That's the core of your argument.
That's the core of my argument, but I'll add, and I'm not going to belabor the point that's the issue isn't whether that's notwithstanding what the statute says. The statute says that a healthcare facility is a licensed person.
And that's how you get to compliance with the statute.
Correct.
Understood.
Correct. I don't have anything further, but I thank your honors for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Weiss.
Thank you, Your Honors. I've heard the questions court, and I think the court fully understands the argument that we're going to make. The appellants and the amicus briefs have argued effectively that an act of medical negligence occurs when someone sustains an injury in a healthcare facility. I don't think that's what the statute means. I don't think that's what the statute intends. An act of medical negligence occurs when a licensed person commits an act which deviates from the standard of care applicable to that particular profession. An act of medical negligence does not occur when someone simply enters a healthcare facility. So in some of the questions, some of the hypotheticals raised by the court, I think this is exactly the point in this case, that if someone enters the hospital facility and they happen to fall on an accumulation of water in the lobby, did they come to the hospital for a medical procedure? Perhaps they did. Or in this case, if they, on the way to the radiology suite, suffer a fall on an accumulation of water, is that an act of medical negligence? I would argue it's not. It's not an act committed by a licensed person. It's not a deviation from the standard of care of a licensed person within their profession.
Are you conflating two things here? Whether there's some medical behavior and whether there is negligence that is caused in the radiology suite here. Because what I heard the preceding counsel argue was, we're only speaking about cases where there is some form of medical care that is alleged to be negligent, not a slip on by the water fountain on the way to the radiology suite.
Well, I think they acknowledge it, and yet they don't, because the statute makes clear that the definition, the dividing line between acts of medical negligence, which necessitate the providing of an affidavit of merit, from those that do not, are acts committed by licensed persons within the scope of their profession.
But doesn't your complaint provide that the technician carelessly, negligently, and or recklessly failed to perform such imaging and otherwise deviated from standard accepted standards of medical care? So you are raising a standard of medical care as your, and your claim is to the technician, are you not? And if so, would that pass on to the hospital, and you would require an affidavit of merit as to the hospital, who is a licensed person under the statute? Because your cause of action doesn't talk about respondent superior, and at least in, I mean, it does, but not. You also say deviated from standard of accepted standards of medical care. Doesn't that rise it to the rise it to the level of requiring an affidavit of merit?
It doesn't, for two reasons I would respectfully suggest. First, the complaint perhaps was inartfully phrased, and because it's a complaint that we use in virtually every medical negligence case we file, that kind of boilerplate language was included, but it makes no reference to the requirements of the affidavit of merit statute. Under no circumstances is a radiology technician entitled to an affidavit of merit because they're not a licensed person.
Mr. Weiss, I have a very simple question. Is there any allegation against the hospital in this case that is not entirely derivative of the negligence of the technician?
No, there are no independent acts of negligence alleged as to the hospital.
So there's no negligent hiring, no negligent supervision, no negligent oversight of the department, no allegation based on the facilities, the equipment provided, the weight that was involved here, nothing other than the technician committed a non-malpractice negligent act, which is outside of the statute, and by virtue of being the employer of the technician, the hospital is vicariously liable. That's it.
Exactly, Your Honor. Exactly.
Mr. Weiss, in order to proceed with this malpractice claim, are you going to have to get an expert? Can you proceed without an expert setting forth the standard of care?
I'm not certain what the proofs are going to be with, but it seems that an expert may well be required at time of trial, but that's a separate issue.
I understand that. And it may not be totally relevant to this case, but I'm just like wondering if you need an expert to proceed, and it would seem that you probably do, because you're going to have to set forth what the standard of care is. Like, why wouldn't you just front it instead of marching your case all the way to the Supreme Court?
That perhaps would have been the better procedure to follow, and I would openly acknowledge that.
Okay.
And in fact, I think the appellate division, in its opinion, said that they, of course, made no finding as to whether or not expert testimony would be required at time of trial. And I would agree. I don't know what the proofs are yet. I have yet to depose the radiology technician. I don't know what his testimony is going to be. So under certain circumstances, an expert may well be required at time of trial.
Just it's not central to the case, but have you identified the technician?
I don't have that name with me, but yes, the defense counsel has identified the name of that technician to me.
Anything else you'd like to present as part of your argument?
No, I think the court's questioning of opposing counsel indicated to me that the court understands the arguments that we made in our brief, and I believe that the court understands the argument that we're making, unless there's some specific question that I can answer.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Ms. Harvey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. New Jersey Association for Justice is looking for a test that's under the plain language of the statute. And the statute has to be read together with Section 26 and Section 27. Section 26 sets forth who is a professional, and Section 27 puts forth how you can find the action. In any action for damages for personal injuries resulting from an alleged act of malpractice or negligence by a licensed person in his profession or occupation. I believe that when you read the statute together, that means because there's not a radiology technician under the Section 26, that it resolves the question as to whether or not you need an affidavit of merit. The Association for Justice is really looking for clarity on this issue. We as practitioners who are mostly on the plaintiff's side are the ones who would be prejudiced if the rule is unclear. Because our claim could be dismissed through what might be no fault of our own if we are reading the statute in its plain language, which is what we're supposed to do. So what we're really asking for is that this court apply the doctrine of expressio unius est exclusio alteris, that because the absence of the radiology tech, that resolves the question because of what we're looking for. I'm not talking about when there's a direct claim against the hospital, but when it's only a vicarious claim, then you have to look at what am I trying to prove? And here, the question of the licensed person in his profession is that radiology tech. And there's no affidavit of merit required because they're not a licensed person under the act. That doesn't mean it's not a medical malpractice case. It just means that it doesn't fall under the act that requires an affidavit of merit.
Ms. Harvey, you mentioned the distinction between a direct claim and a vicarious liability derivative claim. If there were a direct claim against the hospital for negligent hiring, supervision, some sort of a facilities issue, whatever, there would be a requirement for an affidavit of merit?
Yes, Your Honor. And to address the question as to what we as practitioners do that was addressed to appellant, if we have a direct claim with a claim against the hospital for a direct issue, ordinarily what we will do is get one affidavit of merit that addresses that situation, if we can. We have to, of course, follow Meehan, so the person has to have the experience to give that opinion. Ordinarily, it's a doctor who perhaps violates a hospital protocol. And in that instance, we'll ask a doctor who has administrative experience to provide us with that affidavit of merit. And it'll address both defendants in
so
one.
What is so crazy about your adversary's argument that you've brought in a licensed individual or an entity, and because the affidavit of merit statute requires an affidavit of merit when you bring one in, now the hospital has to file an affidavit of merit by someone setting forth the standard of care and that there was a violation. What's so crazy about that?
I think the craziness is the expectation when you're looking at it. And it went to the questions of the justices as to who am I going to get? Because the statute is very clear. It has to be the appropriately licensed person. So as to the radiology technician, if the breach is what that radiology technician did wrong.
So their argument is the hospital is licensed and it acts through various people, licensed and unlicensed. And since you brought me in, I'm licensed, then the appropriate person. Could be the radiologist expert, or it could be a radiological technician expert. Like, why not? Why is that so crazy? Since you brought in the licensed entity, and the entity works through these various people.
That would require that would not be supported by the plain language of the statute because of the language that has to be an appropriately licensed person, which refers directly back to the language in 26, that it has, those are the categories. And what this court said in Meehan is you look at what their qualifications are to in order to give that testimony. So there it was an orthodontist who was the defendant and
it was like a different type of dentist who gave the affidavit of merit. And you said as long as that person treats that condition, it's okay. But in that circumstance, both of the people who gave the affidavit and the defendant were licensed under the act. So here, you can't, you're straining the reading by saying okay, that so it'd be a licensed person.
Okay, so let's say it is a person who operates at management level in the hospital, who presumably is aware of the standards throughout the hospital. That's the person. Why shouldn't that be the person?
Because under the act.
Since they're being sued. Go ahead. So that would be a license.
Because that's not what I'm being tasked in proving. I'm at this. The Section 27 is very clear that it's the action for damages resulting from the alleged action by the person in his profession. So that administrator, that's not what I'm trying to prove. At the end of the day, so at the end of the trial, I should say, what that jury is being asked to do is say, did that radiology technician breach the standard of care? Did damages result? If so, then it's a separate question under Carter v. Reynolds that was that an employee of the hospital? And if so, were they acting within the scope? You never get to the question of the licensed professional's negligence. It's never the hospital's negligence in that scenario when you only have the vicarious liability claim. So as a practitioner, we can't predict that there's now going to be a requirement that we, in order to prove this vicarious claim, are going to need to prove need to have the affidavit of merit. And this is supported in
one of like the basic purposes of the affidavit of merit statute was to assure that there wasn't, if you give my language, a bogus claim filed against a licensed individual entity. So the hospital is saying the affidavit of merit is protecting me against a bogus claim. And that's the reason why there should be some sort of affidavit. Are they being stripped of that protection by foregoing the affidavit? I think that's what your adversaries are basically saying.
Then I think their remedy is to lobby the legislature to change the language, because the language is very specific that it's by the licensed person in his profession. And that question is not what's on the verdict sheet for this case. And that, I think that's also Justice Fernandez-Vina had an opinion at Mortgage Grader versus Olivio and Ward that I had cited 225 NJ 423, where it wasn't the holding, but there was explanation that for vicarious liability claims, if the underlying factual allegation of the claim require proof of a deviation from the proof of the standard of care for that, then the affidavit of merit is required. But here, that's not the proof that's required. It's not the hospital's standard of care. It's the radiology technician. So I think it's a clear dynamic that you look at, what am I trying to prove? If I'm trying to prove a breach of the standard that's owed by any of those 17 categories in Section 26, then I need an affidavit of merit. And we need that clarity because the consequences are so grave that our case is going to be dismissed with prejudice if we violate that rule. The second issue that I had raised in my brief that nobody else commented upon is it goes to part of the questions that Your Honors had asked about the need for an expert. So here the allegation is that the radiology technician violated the physician's order. I believe implicit in Cowley versus Virtua, while that case was held to not be a common knowledge case because there was the person pulled out the tube. It wasn't just that the nurse failed to place the nasogastric tube. But here, it's that the radiology technician actually violated the order of the doctor. And in that instance, we're asking this court to set forth that if they prove that the radiology technician did violate the order, then it would be a breach of the standard of care. That you wouldn't need an expert in that instance when you prove there's an order and it was violated. And I think as practitioners, we really need that.
How can we state that their orders Some or violation of some orders may violate standards of care. Violation of other orders may just mean you didn't follow what you were told to do. Am I mistaken?
No, but I think in this instance, it's a consequential order that you were told not to have it be weight-bearing, and it was weight-bearing.
Is that an issue raised by the plaintiff?
I do not believe. It was in the fact the order was written that way, but they did not ask for the relief we're seeking of.
We don't, amicus takes the case as amicus finds the case. I mean, that's not an issue raised by the parties, is it?
Correct.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Ms. Barr, brief rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. I just wanted to bring it back to one of the initial points that we made, is that the Affidavit of Merit statute requires an affidavit for negligence by a licensed person or within their profession. Here, plaintiff sought medical care at our facility, the hospital. During that visit, there were some medical negligence allegedly occurred, and the bringing in the hospital to account for that necessarily requires an affidavit of merit as to the hospital. And that was not given, and we believe that the complaint should be dismissed.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement, and thank you to all counsel for the argument.